Radio New Zealand News with Hewitt Humphrey. Three men died in a plane crash in the Wellington area late last night. The three were in a twin-engine Piper Aztec, which came down in a remote area of the southern coast of the North Island near Cape Palliser just before midnight.
Police first heard about the crash when they received a report of what was thought to be a flare sighting. Wellington helicopter pilot Peter Button was called in and managed to locate the site of the crash in the early hours of the morning. He confirmed the location and then used a searchlight to sweep the area while a police team found the wreckage. A check with Wellington Airport revealed that a plane had been lost from the radar screen shortly before the crash, but there's no indication yet how the accident happened. Police say the identity of the three men hasn't been established, but it's understood they're on a flight from Paraparaumu to Christchurch. This is Caroline Geishauser.
David Longy will meet the Minister of Māori Affairs, Koru Wetteri, later today to discuss Mr. Wetteri's role in the Māori loan affair after new revelations yesterday. Last night, Mr. Longy held a hurriedly called news conference after disclosures by Rotorua businessman Rocky Cribb and the Secretary of Māori Affairs, Tamati Reedy, about Mr. Wetteri's knowledge of the proposed $600 million loan.
All along, Mr. Wetteri has maintained he knew nothing about the loan until mid-November. However, opposition MP Winston Peters said on Wednesday that Mr. Wetteri had met with Mr. Cribb in late October and had made an entry in his diary to travel to Hawaii. Mr. Wetteri said the entry referred to the inauguration of a new state governor, but later changed this and said it referred to a meeting to follow up on business proposals involving the Maori people and Hawaiian interests. Yesterday, Mr. Cribb said he told Mr. Wetteri at that October meeting of the loan proposals, and this version has been backed up by the Maori Affairs Secretary, Tamati Reedy. Mr. Longy says it's the inconsistencies in Mr. Wetteri's recall of events that he wants to discuss with the minister. This is Giles Beckford.
Police Commissioner Mal Churchill says no firm decision has been made on implementing a tougher police line on domestic violence. A police psychologist's report has been released which looks at domestic violence in Hamilton. During the study, the police changed their policy and took a tougher line with the aggressors in domestic disputes. Mr. Churchill says even though the Hamilton trial was a success, it won't be introduced nationally at this stage.
We haven't accepted or implemented the recommendations as the policy of the New Zealand police. And really, that's one of the purposes of releasing it publicly, is so that we can get comment, and it's also being distributed through a national committee to various interested groups so that they can also comment before we make any decision on the implementation of all or any of the recommendations in the report.
In Hamilton, the majority of police officers felt the tougher line was an improvement, and 98% thought it should be introduced nationally. Securities Commission Chairman Colin Paterson has criticised the press for publishing advertisements on how to make money through insider trading. The advertisements encourage people to become subscribers to a firm called Ascorp Group Trust, which provides telephoned and printed information on investment tips. The Trust says in its advertisements that it gets the tips from inside information and indicates that its informants include company directors and heads of sharebroking firms. At a Securities Commission hearing in Wellington yesterday on the Trust's claims, Mr. Paterson said if the claims are false, then the newspapers are misleading the public by running the advertisements. However, he said if the claims are true, then the material is unethical, and the question is whether or not newspapers should be allowed to decide for themselves if they publish such material. Mr. Paterson says he applauds the Christchurch newspapers for refusing to run the advertisements. Celebrations of the 147th anniversary of the Treaty of Waitangi today at Waitangi are expected to be low-key. The Governor-General, Sir Paul Reeves, was welcomed onto the Otiria Marae last night. About 50 protesters also showed up.
Sir Paul Reeves will be attending today's commemoration of the treaty for the first time as the Queen's representative. Last year there was no Crown representative at Waitangi, and the last time Sir Paul was here it was as head of the Anglican Church protesting against the celebrations. His role was questioned by one of the group opposed to the treaty last night, but it's still not certain what sort of reception he'll get today in a more public appearance in his official capacity on the treaty grounds. In Waitangi, Andrew Melville.
Now the weather forecast to midnight tonight over the North Island, fine except for isolated showers in the west this morning. In Nelson, Marlborough, Canterbury and Otago, fine. In the west from Buller to Fiordland, scattered showers. In Southland, showers becoming confined to the western high country and the coast this morning. For the Chatham Islands, a few showers. That's national and international news and weather. It's 7:05.
And you're listening to Good Morning New Zealand on Waitangi Day. Jeff Robinson here, and with me in the studio, Hara Williams and Bishop Lionel Bennett. We're taking phone calls from certain people around the country on what Waitangi means to them. Hara is talking to some people, I'll be talking to others. Hara.
Yes, with us now is Turi Te Kani, who is an elder of the Ngāti Ranginui tribes of Tauranga Moana, the Tauranga area. So, Turi, how do you feel about Waitangi?
Well, I think that if the people of New Zealand want to have a meaningful and harmonious future, then it needs to go back to the basics of the treaty. In other words, honour the terms of the treaty, because you know, that's where it all began, eh? And if we're not going to work at trying to honour the thing genuinely, well, then we're going to be in for a lot of trouble times ahead. I don't think that we can just gloss over the treaty, you know, saying that we're one people and all that is not going to do it. We need to get back to basics. It's just like building a house for family.
Turi Te Kani, do we celebrate or do we commemorate?
Well, there's very little reason for Māoris to celebrate at the moment until that is done. Now, we do commemorate Waitangi Day here locally. We have prayers on top of Mount Maunganui every year. We've done it for the last 20 years. But, you know, we should work towards the stage where everybody will celebrate Waitangi Day. But unless we honour the treaty, I can't see us doing it. Can't see everybody doing it. We should be doing it not only at Waitangi, and not only down the Beehive and one or two other places, but all over the country. That's what we should be doing. The birth of the nation was begun when the treaty was signed between the two signatories, the chiefs of the Māori people representing all the tribes on the one hand, and William Hobson representing the Crown of England, and all the newer arrivals to this country. Now, we must be able to honour that. Otherwise, it's not much use talking about the treaty.
Turi Te Kani of Tauranga. Bishop Bennett, I believe you're supposed to be on the top of the mount this morning.
Yes, it has become my regular habit now to commemorate the Treaty of Waitangi on top of Mount Maunganui with the Tauranga Moana people. They're there. They're climbing the mount at the moment. And I'm sorry I can't be with them, because it's a very inspiring experience to be there on this sacred day. And it's an act of commemoration and an act of dedication and thanksgiving. It was most inspiring that they were very well aware of the difficulties that the Māori people are in and have been in. And last year it was most impressive that despite all that, they could find things to be thankful about.
Jeff, you've got a phone call. We do indeed. We've been hearing so far, perhaps largely from Māori people, and perhaps we ought to be redressing the balance, because we are a bicultural nation. We are two people in partnership. On the phone now, we have David Hurley, a Pākehā lawyer whose ancestors arrived in New Zealand shortly after the treaty was signed. David, good morning. What does Waitangi mean to you?
Good morning. First, my views today are very different from a few years ago. At that stage, I thought the treaty was a good thing, like the Magna Carta, but something which had no necessary direct relevance to me personally. Since then, I've had to try and come to terms with the protest movement, to whom I think we owe a great debt, but I was also going through something of a personal search. And 3 points, if I may make them. First, my ancestors arrived here in 1842. They were part of the New Zealand Company settlement in Wellington. And to me, it is important that they came, welcomed, as part of a shared new life in this country, rather than in spite of the wishes of the local people, which is the case in other colonies for other peoples and other empires. To me, therefore, the basis of the social contract between two peoples justifying and legalizing my existence here is part of that very framework of who I am. And I suggest that for that reason, the treaty is as important to Pākehā as it is to Māori. The second is, as a lawyer, I was very impressed by a paper prepared by Paul Tem QC, formerly a member of the tribunal, who analysed very carefully the experience of the British in treaties with native peoples around the world for about 200 years prior to the treaty being signed here. It was a sophisticated document. They knew what they were doing, and it was intended to carry the honour of the Crown. And so for me, the treaty today, and everybody acknowledges the injustices which have occurred since, is also a reproach and a challenge to get it right for the future and to redress and remedy those problems. The third point is that as part of trying to learn to become a bicultural person, I've been able to spend some time on marais. That experience and learning of concepts as manaakitanga and arahatanga and wairuatanga and others is a humbling experience. And for me, the concept of the treaty is a partnership between peoples, i.e. that's a comity, a commonness of interest, and working together for a common purpose, is both a symbol of hope, but also, with this culture and these people, I think it also a great privilege. So for the future, I see the treaty as not only a symbol of a potential harmony between the people, but it also is the first great map reference in how we get there. Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou.
Tēnā koutou, David. Thank you for joining us. Lawyer David Hurley.
Sharon Crosby is on the line now. She's a well-known broadcaster to everyone throughout the country, travelled widely and also recently in the United States. But Sharon, this important day when we're looking at ourselves, what does today mean to you?
Well, I think for me today means probably more than it has in previous years because of being in the United States for as long as I was. And I think that the important thing about that country, for all its faults, is that when you've been there for a little while, you start thinking about why people are there. And you realize that apart from Black America and what happened to the indigenous people, which of course is fairly shameful, for most of the rest of America, there's a commitment to that country. They wanted to be there. Their grandparents wanted to be there. They saw it as an opportunity to start again, and they thought very much about the sort of life that they wanted. So that although America's had its ups and downs, it still has its idealism intact, but tatty sometimes, but there's still that idealism. And I think, I thought when I came back, that perhaps it's time a lot of us here thought why we were here, why we'd come, and what it is we want. I think we take it very much for granted, but, you know, we weren't dropped here against our will. We came there were people here already, the Maori people, and some sort of compromise had to be made. I suppose they thought they were making a compromise with the treaty, but the treaty's limped on, unratified, for a very long time. And perhaps it's time that New Zealand sat down and thought, well, you can't change history, you can't change the past, but perhaps you can look at what you've accumulated and what it means and what it is we want and why we're here. And maybe it's time, as I think Geoffrey Palmer wants to do, to have some sort of constitution, bill of rights, some sort of ideals set up, even if we fall short of them very often. And I think that's, you know, we're not like America. We can't be. We are unique and special. But there's a great deal that can be learned from that way of going about organizing a society.
Sharon Crosby, kia ora.
Well,
you're listening to Good Morning New Zealand on National Radio, and today on Waitangi Day we're talking to a number of people about what Waitangi means to them and has meant for them and will mean for the country, looking at various aspects of it. And one man who's very much in the middle on Waitangi Day is the Governor-General. Well, on the phone now we have a former Governor-General, Sir David Beattie, who of course was at Waitangi when the big confrontation arrived. Good morning, Sir David.
Good morning to you.
What's it like being the man in the middle, being the Governor-General? It must be a difficult position to be in at a time like this.
There were some difficulties. It is his role to endeavour to unify the country as one nation, made up like a tree with different branches to it. And I believed when I was at Waitangi, I was representing not only the Crown, but all New Zealanders not actually present at the ceremony. And the ceremony itself was always, in the 5 years I went to it, a very moving occasion, appreciated by many thousands who were there. There were some objections to the presence of the Navy, but it was the Navy that brought Hobson ashore, and I ask, are we to lose a piece of tradition to placate a very small group? Indeed, half the naval guards at each of the Waitangi ceremonies I attended, half them at least were Maori sailors. And really what I'm saying to you is, you don't solve problems by avoiding them. And I personally would like to see the commemoration, excuse me, return to where the treaty was signed.
The day that you were there, and we have that poignant memory of you and Sir James Henare sitting on the bench waiting to talk, what was going through your mind at that time?
I was actually wondering why, having made the appointment to see me, they were taking so long to do so, but I felt it would have been very bad manners to have walked away without hearing from them.
Now that you're no longer Governor-General, have your thoughts changed about Waitangi at all? Have your attitudes changed?
I think that we should all try for a unified approach to the problems. I think the Maoris themselves have got to come to a concerted view and not a divided view. I take that, and I'm sorry to have to repeat what I said on previous occasions, but 1 year the placard said the treaty is a fraud, and the next year the placards were changed to ratify the treaty, and I asked then when I spoke, how can you ratify a fraud? So I believe that both sides of the argument have got to marshal what they want to say and have it said clearly.
Sir David, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Sir David Beattie, former Governor-General, and I guess that's a challenge that he's giving people, to come to one view on the treaty, and let's pick up that notion of challenge, to rise up, to respond, to be awakened to the challenges. Well, perhaps one can take comfort from the prayer and the wish in Whakaari Mai with Howard Morrison.
I see the stars. I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displays.
Morrison and Pakari Amai. 23 minutes past seven. Well, somebody who's done a lot of thinking about the Treaty of Waitangi over the last few years is the NCC Racism Officer, Bob Scott, and he's on the line now. Kia ora, Bob.
Kia ora, Jeff.
Your attitude to the treaty at the moment?
Well, may I say kia ora to the Bishop and tanakwe te hari, and as a Pākehā, I pay my respects to the land and my tribute to the tongue of the whenua on this day.
Kia ora, Bob.
Kia ora, Bob. Very nice to have you with us today. Thank you for all that you've done for the promotion of our interests.
Jeff, give me a question again.
Your attitude to the treaty now, Bob, has it changed over the last couple of years?
Oh, indeed. I think one of the things as I listen in the last hour is just how important the treaty is in its pivotal nature for Maori people, and I contrast that with the sometimes ignorance and unawareness of Pākehā people. I think that's changing, and I think one of the very encouraging things for the last, even as recently as 3 or 4 years, is that more and more Pākehā people are beginning to see that the treaty is a living document, not just an historical one, and that it's a living document with considerable mana which can help shape our future. Now, I think that's very exciting.
Bob, have other people's attitudes changed as you've been watching and working? Have you noticed a discernible change in New Zealanders' attitudes?
I think there are three sort of changes that I notice. One is that Pākehā people are urgently seeking to correct their lack of information, and that points back to what we didn't learn about the treaty and those kind of things in our education system. And I think, trying to correct the myths that some of us grew up with, and I think that's encouraging. Secondly, I think beginning to explore what it means to move out of a monocultural way of looking at things. I'm excited when I hear health people realize that the medical model in health, for instance, is very culturally imprisoned, and that there are other ways of looking at health and being well and wellness. But I think the third thing is that some people feel very threatened by moving away from that monocultural imprisonment. And so there's a lot of education to allay fears and help people see that the future is a creative thing, not necessarily a fearful thing.
Bob Scott, thank you for joining us this morning. Bob Scott, the NCC's racism officer. And let's look back to last year now. Remember a year ago, Dame Fina Cooper stood in front of the ancestral meeting house on the grounds of the National Marae and called to the absent Governor-General and the Prime Minister.
O Governor, I cry out to you from the soil of Waitangi. Prime Minister, the power of the land, and you are absent today. Where are you? I shed tears for your people because you're in Wellington. Your people are here. Governor, Prime Minister, return, return, return. Return to your people, hoki mai.
The impassioned plea of Dame Fina Cooper this time last year at Waitangi. And of course, the Governor-General will be at Waitangi later this morning. There will also be official ceremonies in Wellington taking place. Well, now, we're shortly trying to arrange to cross to Waitangi. We hope indeed to be talking to our reporters up there and to Sir James Hanare after the 7.30 news, or even before then. I think we've got through on the line now. We're through at the moment, are we? Good morning. Is that Hanare Te Ua?
Yeah, good morning, Jeff.
Hanare, what's the atmosphere like at Waitangi today?
Well, we haven't seen very much of it, Jeff, to tell you the truth. The most important function which has happened leading up to today's observances here at Waitangi was the welcome late yesterday afternoon to His Excellency the Governor-General, Sir Paul Reeves. That was held at the Ōtelia Marae, which is one of the most important marae belonging to the Ngāti Hine people of Te Tokoro. He had a party of about 50 of his Taranaki people who escorted him onto the marae, and the welcome was full of all the protocols, all the nuances, which are befitting to a visit by a Governor-General to a marae. The second Governor-General, incidentally, to visit Ōtelia, the first was Sir Bernard Ferguson in 1964, when in fact he opened the wharenui there to Matauenga. The Whai Corridor didn't exactly go through in perhaps the smooth way that marae oratory is noted for, much to the great shame, I think that I can use that word, Jeff. One of the younger members spoke out of turn, as it were, and trampled on his own kaumātua. But he raised some very, very pointed questions to Sir Paul Reeves. He asked the Governor-General, which hat are you wearing, Governor-General? Are you here as a man of the cloth? Are you here representing which people, and so on? rather an invidious situation because Sir Paul, despite our pleas with him to make a statement, stood firm that what he's got to say will be said on the National Mōrearea today. So he didn't want to prejudice what he is going to say today, Jeff. There was a hui at the Mōrearea at Waitangi itself last night, a big gathering of people. Carol Greensmith is the one who was in touch with that, and I'll just try and get it for you, Jeff. In fact, she's right here now to keep you in touch with what happened on the Te Marae.
The case of handing the phone... Kia ora, Carol. Handing the phone from one person to another, is
yes.
it?
Yes. Keeping busy up here in the north.
What was happening then?
Well, they had a church service last night, a karakia for the paddlers who will be manning the Waitangi's canoe up here. I'm talking about a whaurua. The canoe will be out on the water probably about now, actually. They're having a practice this morning. On Saturday, they're actually taking it out to Whangaroa Harbour, over to Whangaroa. It's the first time the canoe will have actually been out to sea. There are 80 paddlers on board, a mammoth exercise about 10 hours. So they had a special church service last night. They talked about the importance of the canoe to the people up here. They talked about how important it was for the paddlers to be sort of mindful of their position, respectful. At the top marae today, no matter what happens, no matter what provocation there might be, perhaps from any people who might sort of jump up and down or wave placards or try and disturb the proceedings, shout down the Governor-General or whatever, they said, well, be there, be watchful, but, you know, don't retaliate, even though you are the people of the North and it's your mana that's been trampled on.
What time does the ceremony start today, Carol?
About 9:30 this morning it starts under the porphyry. The Governor-General will come on with other people as a manuhiri, three people from the north are due to speak. And after that there'll be a church service, which will include the blessing of this canoe.
Carol and Hanare, thank you for joining us this morning. We have to leave Waitangi now because we're a little late for the news and Hewitt Humphrey standing by. So at 7:32, here's Hewitt Humphrey with the news.
Three men have been killed in a plane crash in the Wellington area overnight on a flight from Paraparu. To Christchurch. Waparaumu to Christchurch. The accident happened around midnight when a twin overnight.
And Hanare, thank you for joining us this morning. We have to leave Waitangi now because we're a little late for the news and Hewitt Humphrey standing by. So at 7:32, here's Hewitt Humphrey with the news.